Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. Alex Dunn here, joined by Andy Holding to look ahead to Killarney's card on Tuesday evening. Decent card it is as well. Mixture of flat and jumps races to look forward to. Something for everybody. Hopefully a winner or two as well for everybody. Good morning, Mr. Holding.
Morning, Mr. Dunn.
How are you?
Good, mate. Very well.
Good. Good to hear. As I said, it's a decent card. You know, we get used to midweek fare occasionally being a little bit substandard over in Ireland, but yesterday's card was pretty decent. Today's is strong, and with that mix of flat and jumps as well, it does mean that maybe if your first two picks on the flat don't go so well, you know that you can wait till 8 o'clock or well, we've got a jumper's bumper in effect, haven't we? It's at 7:30, a flat race where, well, I suppose it's mainly flat horse, isn't it? But the odd jumper in there, but you know, it is one of those cards where there really is something for everybody, isn't there?
I like these cards, I do. I must admit, I don't think they've really caught on really in this country. I mean, Sandown used to do it, didn't they? With the sort of Bet365 weekend when they had the final of the jumps season and mixture of good flat racing as well. And I think that variety certainly adds to it to spice it up a bit. I don't know why it isn't such a bigger hit in this country. Irish, they thrive on it, don't they? You know, particularly their big summer festivals, Galway mixes, you know, flat and jumps, intertwined as well. They have a flat race, jump race, and I love it. I do, I must admit. As you say, if you're not doing so good on the flat, then you've always got three or four races on the jumps to bail out, or vice versa.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, then we'll kick off this preview with the 6 o'clock from Killarney. It is a maiden over a mile and half a furlong, and a warm order at the head of affairs is Elusive Lawrence for Jessica Harrington and Fran Berry. But then we've got the likes of Blackstone and Intense Debate, who are pretty frustrating, I think it's fair to say, but do have pretty solid levels of form. You wouldn't imagine anything else would be getting into this, but what do you fancy here?
I've sort of given up on Blackstone a little bit. I just think he's gone really sour. He's one of these horses that threatened in some decent maidens earlier on in his career, and he just seems to be, I don't know, I've definitely got a black mark over him at the moment. I just don't think he's loving the game at the moment. He's had blinkers on. He just doesn't look as though he's putting a great deal of effort into his races, and Joseph O'Brien was scrubbing his ears off all the way through that Fairy House race of the day. I know he jumped the path and that didn't help, but He's not the kind of horse that comes back after a knockdown on the canvas. Intense Debate, I thought she ran reasonably well the other day in a decent maiden at Leopardstown. But the form hasn't worked out all that well, and she looks fairly exposed as well. So I think that the second and third favourites here look pretty opposable. So it's got to be Elusive Lawrence, almost on process elimination here, despite her being a short price favourite. She made an encouraging start to her career. That was at Roscommon at the start of the month. So actually, it was a week ago. And I thought she did really well, actually, to get as close as she did after a slow beginning. She stayed on quite nicely, eye-catching in the latter stages under a fairly tender ride by Fran Berry. I don't think Fran actually ever felt as though he was going to win that race. But he looked after her, and she came home, you know, not unduly punished. So stepping up in trip with that experience under her belt. It was a good time as well. That King's Riker, who won that race, posted quite a good number, which puts her actually into the mix anyway on the speed figures. But with the second and third favourite looking as though they've got glass chins, I'd expect Elusive Lawrence probably to take this.
Okay, Elusive Lawrence, the pick there in the 6 o'clock. Next up is the 6:30. A race, once again, over a mile and half a furlong. Just the 5 runners down to go to post in this one. And the betting headed by Stay the Night for Dermot Weld and Pat Smullen, who looks like he could be a little bit better than these. Straight of Zanzibar is solid enough and in decent form, but you know, we know pretty much what he's got to offer. Whimsical, not in the best form. Harley's Harley had looked promising, but it's had a bit of a break now. I mean, this looks pretty difficult to see past Stay the Night, doesn't it?
Yes and no. A lot depends on how much this horse improves from that first run, because I think it'll probably have to. Okay, it was hugely impressive. It travelled really well. Expected to win as well, first time out being a 4-5 shot. And he quickened on demand to beat two, let's face it, fairly modest horses, so I don't think we get massively carried away about the form and what he beat. I mean, look at Bad News Bear, the horse that finished second. Finished 7th of 7 on its next run and got beat, absolutely slaughtered the other day in a terrible claimer at Navan, finishing 6th or 7th. Kodiak's back, rated mid-70s. He's a fairly exposed horse trade by David Marnay. So, albeit this horse is impressive, I mean, I think Dermot Well could have run a 0-70 or so out of his yard and he would have beaten those two. So, I just think this horse at 8-11 has been put on very much in over style over substance. Because I think Straits of Zanzibar and Whimsical both set a really decent standard to at least give the favourite a race if he doesn't step up on that first run. Particularly Straits of Zanzibar, he's been running really well of late. 2 wins in his last 4 starts, both in good speed figures. And also that number he produced the other day at Belistan would make him quite a tough nut to crack here. I like the way he stayed on, having raced prominently from a low draw the other day. And he beat a really competitive field and himself from the second Shree Tour, pulled well clear of the rest. I mean, his speed figure there, I've got an 85 compared to Stay the Night's 67 at Limerick. You know, there's a big chunk between these two on what they've actually done of late. And you throw into the mix Whimsical, who ran an absolute blinder here last night in a listed race for fillies. I don't think she's out of it either. So the way I'd probably play this race is I'd probably have a little bit on Straight at Zanzibar, because I think he's going to run a massive race for us. And I'd have a little bit of a saver on Whimsical, who also comes out quite well on the figures if Connections decide to run.
OK, do we think Whimsical will run?
Your guess is as good as mine. I would say they probably would, yeah. I mean, why not?
Well, we see it quite a lot in Ireland, don't we?
We do, yeah. They're backing up the day before. We have it quite a few times, don't we, these these big festivals. So let's presume it will run.
OK. All right, then next up is the 7 o'clock. It's a handicap over a mile and 3 furlongs. Rayner heads affairs here for John Ox and Gary Halpin. 11-8 at the time of recording, and he's pretty short but definitely has the best form in the field. There's quite a weight to carry though. Is this a race where you're looking, you can't see past the favourite, Andy, or is it a race that, because the favourite is so short, really opens it up for some each-way value?
Yeah, hopefully, yeah, it opens up for a little bit of each-way value here. I'm quite keen on one from an each-way perspective. We'll get on with that selection in a second, but I do think Rainer is the one to beat. Obviously, she's on the upward curve. I was a little bit wary of her after that Trumall win the other day. I know she beat Lady Clitico's subsequent winner in the end, but I just thought she looked an awkward ride and the way she carried her head throughout that race. I wasn't prepared to tip her last week at a short price down in Leopardstown. I went for Madame Mo each way, and although that did finish second and we didn't lose any money, to be fair, I thought Rayner showed really good battling qualities and basically threw a custard pie in my face. But she still does look, I don't know, there's just something about her I can't quite work out. She's getting the job done, but it's under duress and suffering sometimes. I don't think she looks like a horse who's actually enjoying her work. And I've got a feeling one of these days she might just come unstuck if something really does dig deep late on. And I'm really keen here on Hatch Hall. I've been trying to sniff out some nice prices about this horse this morning. Was quoted at double figure odds. Very, very early doors. You could have got 10, 11 to 1 for this individual. But that's gone, certainly at the time of recording anyway. But I'm going to make this horse a speculative nap of the night, because this horse really did catch the eye last time out at Leopardstown in quite a good race. It was won by Pacelli Road from the Dermot Weld stable, who in the first-time visor absolutely bounded clear late on. And no matter which way you stretch it, nothing would have beaten that horse on that night. But I think Hatchell probably might have finished second, because he was coming with what looked a lovely smooth run from the two furlong pole down to the furlong pole, and he got the door slammed right smack bang in his face. And I've upgraded that horse's run and thought, I'll tentatively put him in as the second best horse in the race, and that puts him ahead of Blue Ridge Lane and tied in with the favourite. Blue Ridge Lane finished third in that race that Rayner won the other night, so I actually don't think there's going to be a great deal between Rayner and Hatchall, hence the fact that I was scrambling around trying to take each way prices about Joseph Murphy's charge. Whatever happens, I think he'll finish in the frame. If the ground stays as it is, good ground, this is what this horse wants, I think we're going to see a massive, massive run from Hatchall tonight. And even though his form figures don't look great and he's not really tipped up much in the paper, I'd expect a much, much better run than that.
OK, Hatchall has been really well supported as well this morning. Already 9 into 11 to 2, and we're recording this just after 10 a.m, so a lot of money there for Hatchall, but still available at an each-way price there in the 7 o'clock. The 7.30 is next up, and it's a race over a mile and 6 furlongs. Really short price favourite here in the shape of El Salvador for Aidan O'Brien. But again, we've got 8 runners here at the time of recording, at least. There could be a nice each-way angle in this race, because the second in, we've got Cardinal Palace and Il Fenomeno both at 7s. Which way do you see this one going, Andy?
Quite incredibly, this race has been chalked up just on the ratings, isn't it? It's always the same, these races. They're almost like sellers and claimers in many respects. Bookmakers look at the ratings and just think, right, okay, we'll put that in at 4-7, we'll put that one in at 4-1, but they don't really know, or they haven't really taken into account some of the modest runs with some of those horses who've got higher ratings, ones that haven't. For instance, Cardinal Palace and Il Fenomeno have been in absolutely desperate form of late, even though they're rated 98 and 102 respectively. I don't really expect them to figure here, so I've basically chucked them two out. Obviously, El Salvador is the one to beat, rated 104, and probably, you know, he is the one to beat, but yeah, 4-7, it just doesn't make any kind of appeal to me, particularly in these Lady Rider races, you know, where anything can happen, let's say. So I'm looking at two really much bigger prices. Now, Gambling Girl, I think, is much better rating than her 77 perch suggests. She ran over the top of two very useful horses down in Lepizani the day called Pink Hat and Marty's Magic. And she was very strong in the finish as well. And Katie Harrington takes the ride. I think that'll go well. And the other one to have a look at a bigger price, 14-1 with William Hill this morning, is Firefighter. Very smart horse in the day when trained by Smart Prescott, now with Adrian Maguire. And this combination teamed up to chase home the 89-rated Marcus Marconi the day down in Limerick. Certainly wasn't given an ultra-hard time as well by her pilot on that occasion. I do think 14 is a big price for Firefighter. And that, along with Gambling Girls, sort of like spin of a coin, pays your money, takes your choice of the two. I'd look from an each-way angle if all 8 runners stay in.
OK, so Gambling Girl and Firefighter against the field there in the 7.30. Next up is the 8 o'clock, and it is a Grade C handicap chase over 2 miles and 1 furlong. Certainly a different race to the others that we've looked at so far, but it's a good race. 7-2 the field at the time of recording, but you know, you'd have a job ruling many of these out. The outsiders only at 16s, and I think most representatives here have bits and pieces of solid form if you go back far enough, Andy.
Hopefully class will out here. This race, you're basically dividing half. You look at Ted Veal and Cleft, two proper graded horses running against modest summer jumping handicappers. So I'm going to go with the class performers here, particularly Ted Veal. I think he's a winner waiting to happen in one of these big handicaps. With the Galway Festival around the corner and from Shrewd Connections owners, who of course like a win or two at the Galway Festival, i.e. Busted Tycoon last year, who won, I think it won 3 races at the Galway last year. You've certainly got to keep your eye on the market to find out what Connections are doing with this individual. But his last 3 runs have all come in graded 1 company. You know, and he was only a sort of 20-1 chance, you know, to win the Arkle. So, you know, this is going to be a severe nose-diving class. And considering he's rated 144 and he's a county hurdle win, 141 over fences, he should be able to do some damage off this mark if they could get his jump into clean up a bit. So do keep an eye on him. But the one I'm going to select here tonight is Cleft, the other class act in this race. Now, this horse is good enough to finish 6th in the Galway Plate behind Carlingford Lock. Quite clearly, 2.6 on soft ground stretched him that day. And the same comments apply on his next start in a hurdle over the winter period at Punchestown. But he's not really a winter horse. He likes decent ground in the summer. And I think Connections are probably got their eye back on the Galway Plate trail, depending on obviously what the ground does this time at Ballybrit. But he warmed up nicely the other day. His first run back at Wexford, again on soft ground, which he didn't like. He finished third behind Lord Ben in Midnight Game, two horses right on top of the game and proper summer jumping horses. This individual has finished placed twice at this track before. They were in bumpers in the early part of his career, so we know he likes the track. The ground's perfect for him tonight. He stays really well. So I think 7-1 each way for Kleft. No matter which way you strip this race down, he's got to go well.
Okay, Kleft the pick there in the 8 o'clock. Next up is the penultimate race on the card. It is the 8:30 to handicap chase over 2 miles and 6 furlongs. And, well, the most open race on the card by some distance, Andy. 6-1 the field at the time of recording, with Fort George heading affairs. But it is so, so open. Which one do you fancy here?
Yeah, in these situations, I like to look for a little bit of an edge or an angle. And if I could see Johnny Burt riding in any of these races, then basically I'm just looking to get with him pretty much all the time. And he's riding a horse who's very consistent as well, so the combination should give us at least a good run for our money anyway. That's a theory. A horse called A Decent Excuse, trained by Eugene O'Sullivan. And comes here off the back of a good run the other day down in Limerick. It was a race that, on the way out from the John Kiely stable, finally delivered the goods. He's always been a talented horse, that individual, but he has been a bit of a letdown occasionally, but he got it all together the other day, and A Decent Excuse couldn't quite go with him late on, but he run another solid race, and that, along with two good runs previously, Cork in particular in May, he just always seems to do with his best, and allied to the fact that Johnny, the best conditional over in Ireland by an absolute country mile, he's on. 8-1 each way appeals where quite a few of them don't. So I'm going to give A Decent Excuse a decent each way chance in at 8:30.
Nicely put. The 9 o'clock is the final race. It's a novice chase over 2 miles and 6 furlongs. 6 runners down to go to post in this one. Again, some nice types here. Kaylin and Nam's a horse that I've followed, and she's pretty solid once the jumping holds up. 7-2 for her. But we've got joint favourites at the time of recording. Domination for Charles Burns and Davy Russell. And the Mullins charge. How are we saying this one, Andy?
Alucci Inouar.
There we go. I wouldn't have said that. Who, again, brings really solid form to the table. And given the fact that, you know, he is trained by Willie Mullins, 7-4 may not be a bad price. We often see his horses be madly overbet. But some nice types here, Andy. What are you going to come down on?
Yeah, this is probably the best race of the night, in all fairness. You know, you've got four horses who have set really good standards throughout the summer jumping period under different codes, all locking horns here. And it's not going to be easy to split this lot. Alucci Inouar was hugely impressive when beating the now recalcitrant Steps to Freedom the other day down in Trumhill. I don't think Jessica Harrington's charge will ever win a race again, because I just think he's totally gone at the game. But Alucci Inouar certainly jumped well and made sure that that individual, you know, wasn't let off the hook in any way, shape or form. Bally Longford was good the other day when he beat Chillin, A Decent Field down in Kilbeggan. Callin and Anami has just been a model of consistency throughout the last year or two, given good ground, and the way she stayed on and jumped the other day down in Kilbeggan was very encouraging. But I'm going to have to stick with Domination here, who, of course, won the Ascot Stakes at Royal Ascot and then ran another decent race from the front the other day at Sandown in a bit of a stop-start race. I don't think actually Fran Berry went quick enough that day, and I think if he had a chance to ride the race again, he would have been a bit more proactive. But this horse jumps really well. He's only ever won one race over the larger obstacles, but he seems to jump okay, and that came at Limerick on ground, and he wouldn't have liked. Now he's got his ground again today. I just think he might just have enough speed to cope with the others. He certainly stays well enough, obviously winning 2.5 miles over Ascot backs that up. I wouldn't be massively confident, don't get me wrong. I do think this is a very competitive race, and I'm not suggesting we have a fortune on Domination, but I just think he might have just the little bit of je ne sais quoi that you know, sets him apart.
OK, Domination the pick there in the lucky last. Great stuff, Andy. Thanks very much for your time once again. We'll catch up with you tomorrow ahead of Killarney's final card. But enjoy all the action on Tuesday evening.
Thanks, buddy.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.